All right, doing this a little bit later than I anticipated or hoped for. Obviously, the Four Nation final last night between the United States and Canada doesn't go the way that I think a lot of us would have hoped. Canada ends up downing the U.S. 3-2 in overtime in another classic. On TD Garden Ice, the story of the game obviously ends up being that Jordan Binnington at TD Garden becomes the greatest goalie that ever lived. Seriously, I just don't understand it with this guy. He gets in Boston and just decides that he's going to rip out everyone's heart. It's incredible. Because if you know anything, I mean, if you know hockey, you know that Jordan Binnington is really not that good of a goaltender. Hasn't been outside of his cup run with St. Louis. Wasn't really particularly great in this tournament. And he ends up stealing one for Team Canada last night, shutting up all his doubters. And I think it more has to do with the building. He just gets in that building and just all of a sudden I don't get it. You know, he's yeah, it pisses me off too. It just pisses me off. I have a thing where just if you're an athlete and I love guys that step up to the plate and just, you know, come through when it matters most. But it's not a situation where like it's a very good guy that becomes an elite guy. Like, he's not that level of goaltender. And now he's just pulled out two performances out of his ass. And that just, oh, it irks me. I just don't understand. It's just because it's like you look at him and you're like, oh, I want to laugh at him. I want to laugh at him like failing in this spot. But nope, he comes through for them, sold his soul or something. I don't understand it. They need to sage the TD Garden Ice because I don't get how many times I can watch the team that I'm rooting for lose on that rink. It's clearly not just a Bruins thing. It's now, you know, another thing. I was disappointing I wasn't able to go to that game last night, but at the same time, I think I would have had a meltdown. So it was probably for the best. But anyway, you know, man, for the U.S., it was one that got away, that's for sure. You know, this tournament, obviously, I think in the grand scheme of things, as we get back to international hockey being at the forefront of the sport, I don't think it'll be as big a deal in the long run. It may be that this could be used as a point of, wow, okay, well, this is where we really saw how good they could be. Because, I mean, they're neck and neck. They're neck and neck with the Canadians. And, you know, that's something that, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't really say that about U.S. hockey. You know, you compound, you know, the Vancouver game that was another overtime thriller. With this one, 15 years later, obviously, not much has changed. But still, it just shows that you're just right there. You can't fucking beat them for some reason. Whenever you get into a game of magnitude, you just can't fucking beat them. But, I mean, yeah, if anything, the positive is that you can take is that you're right there on the cusp of winning a gold medal, winning one of these major international tournaments. But, yeah, no, that was a hard pill to swallow. That's always going to be looked as the one that got away. You're on your ice in your home country. Place is geeked up. You got the most viewers for any non-Olympic hockey. It was pretty much the most viewed NHL game, sponsored game ever. You got the whole country's talking about you. And then, you know, and you lived, I mean, it was a great game. It lived up to the hype. They just came up a little bit short. But they had plenty of opportunities in overtime. You know, Austin Matthews gets the puck in front of the net, 3 feet in front of the net, can't bury it. Jordan Binnington makes an insane save there to get the blocker on it. He makes another insane save on Brady Tkachuk. A little bit, I mean, you can't really blame Tkachuk on this one because he had to glove it down, and then he got the shot off, and Binnington just made a great fucking save down basically Tkachuk was shooting from the goal line, almost essentially. It was a very weird angle, but Binnington made an amazing save there. Matthews got robbed again on another shot off a faceoff. And it's just like you kind of knew once I saw those saves being made, it's like, oh, it's just a matter of time that Canada's going to go up the ice and steal this one. And that's what they did. They get an icing call. Brock Nelson ices the puck on, you know, not a good icing to take, especially with the personnel that they had out there. You know, they have Jack Hughes, who, you know, I'll get into in a second, but, you know, Matthews, Noah Hanifin, and Adam Fox, who was not good at all this tournament. They had bad personnel out there, and then Canada throws out Connor McDavid, and yeah, the U.S. leaves him alone. No one's in the same zip code as him in the slot, and he ends up burying it to seal the 3-2 win for Canada in overtime. Almost poetic in that for McDavid and Canada. Sidney Crosby 15 years ago scores that goal in the Vancouver games, and it's sort of looked at as the crowning moment of Crosby's career. I think that you can kind of look at this as, you know, similar for McDavid. By that point, Crosby had already won a Stanley Cup. McDavid got to game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Kind of ironic, though, if you really think about it, because Crosby had just played a game 7 in 09 and then had that game winner in Vancouver. Same thing here with McDavid. He plays a game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. He unfortunately comes up short in 2024-2025. He buries the game winner. So we'll see. It's almost like there's, kind of like a matching career thing, sort of thing going on there. Crosby was younger when that happened, but McDavid obviously kind of, he's been the best player in the league for quite a few years now, but I guess you could kind of look at that as a passing of the torch sort of moment. And that's definitely something that'll live in Canadian hockey lore for a long, long time. But if you're the U.S., I mean, you can't leave the best player in the world, who really hadn't played that good of a game the entire time. I actually thought that was one of the worst games I've seen Connor McDavid play. Obviously, I don't watch every single Edmonton Oilers game, so I can't tell you, you know, on a night-to-night basis how good he played or whatever. But every single time, it felt like they were calling his name. He was losing the puck. He was clearly having some sort of trouble handling the puck, and then, you know, he was getting a little too cute, turned the puck over quite a few times. And then, even on a night that he's not even playing well, he ends up, I think if you gave him that shot 100 times, he would make it 100 out of 100. I mean, that's how freaking good he is. And you just can't do that. And when you saw 97 standing alone in front of the net, I mean, you just knew. He didn't even have the puck yet, and I was like, oh, God, oh no. But, yep. So, you know, you got to look at the U.S. as they sort of gagged that one away. That'll be the one that got away for the U.S. They had them. They had them beat. I would say that the U.S. was probably the better team the majority of the night. They didn't have a good first period. Canada, as they kind of did the whole tournament, came out guns blazing in that first period. They did it to Sweden. They did it to the U.S., I would say, the first time. They did it to Finland. And then they did it again last night. The only thing is that they just weren't able to score as much on the U.S. as they did Finland and Sweden. They jumped all over Finland and they jumped all over Sweden. They could only get one goal on the Americans both times. And it almost sort of cost them because, you know, they really did outplay the Americans in that they played a better first period. And then, they get a little sloppy towards the end of the period and they give the U.S. a goal. U.S. carries some momentum into the second period, and I thought it kind of carried for the rest of the game. The U.S. scores again. Jake Sanderson, Brady Tkachuk first ties the game up after Nathan MacKinnon had scored earlier. And then in the second period, again, sort of another greasy, grimy goal. Jake Sanderson gets down there, gets in the slot, picks up a rebound that had bounced off someone's leg, and, you know, buries it as Bennington's going completely out of position. He's going from left to right or right to left. I don't remember what direction he was going, but puts the U.S. 2-1, and it really felt like the U.S. had control of the game. It was kind of being played at their pace. It was kind of a slow, tight checking game. And then, you know, they give up a rush to Sam Bennett, and that's another dude that just loves playing in Boston as well. If you were a Bruins fan and rooting for the Americans last night, you were having, like, it was like all your nightmares were just coming back at the same time. It was Jordan Binnington. It was Sam Bennett. You had Austin Matthews. You were getting the pain of what Maple Leafs fans have had to deal with Austin Matthews out there. So yeah, you were just getting it from all sorts of directions. That was kind of hell watching, rooting for Team USA as a Bruins fan. So yeah, Sam Bennett gets a rush and he buries one on Hellebuck, ties the game up. Third period was pretty tight. I still felt like the U.S. had the better chances in the third period until the very, very end. Canada almost banked one in. JT Miller made a great play with a wide open net to deny Connor McDavid a pass that was coming right to him. And yeah, I mean, there was also, you know, a power play as well where Jack Eichel made a good play. It felt like the U.S. had played a better game for most of the night. And then, you know, they get all those chances in overtime. They're carrying the play sort of in overtime. And you just knew that if they don't score in one of these rushes, that Canada's going to get one chance and it's going to go in the back of the net. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. It was a little bit more than one chance because Marchand had gotten a break earlier on in the period, which was kind of funny. But other than that, Canada didn't really get much chances in that overtime, and it didn't matter. You throw the best player out there with against, you know, Jack Hughes and of those likes, which let me get into him. When they do the Olympic roster next year, there's a few guys, I think, that played themselves off the team. I would say Jack Hughes. I feel like he's probably going to end up making the team because they're going to be playing on a bigger sheet of ice over in Milan. It might suit his game a little bit better, but holy shit. That dude's kind of useless. The good thing about seeing all this is that you get to see the stars all in one spot. And, you know, I follow the game and, you know, all that stuff, but you don't really get to see some of these guys in full games or big moments or big games, I guess. And I mean, when you see now from some guys, like you see Brady Tkachuk, he's never played a playoff game, but you look at that guy and you're like, okay, that guy is a winner. He's played on an embarrassing team for forever, even though it looks like Ottawa's probably going to make the playoffs for the first time in his career. But you look at him and you go, give me that guy any day of the week in a playoff series. I think Jacob Slavin sort of established himself as maybe the best defensive defenseman in the league in this tournament. You know, obviously he's got a lot of playoff experience with Carolina, but again, you get to sort of see him in this feature tournament. He was amazing. You know, I think that Charlie McAvoy kind of showed how good he can be. Hasn't really played that way with the Bruins, but he did show in those two games, especially in that game against Canada, how well he can play. But there's some dudes that you looked at and you're like, oh, okay, you know, this dude doesn't get it. Jack Hughes would probably be number one. He kind of looked like a 15-year-old, like, teenager that they let play on the team. He looked so out of place. It was funny how out of place he looked. Didn't really offer them anything. I mean, he's out there to kind of, I understand why Rangers fans fucking hate him like poison, and they think that, you know, he's plays Instagram hockey and all that stuff, because that's kind of what he did. And he can't skate. He falls over every single time that anyone gets anywhere near him. He's falling over. He was doing that the whole tournament. Doesn't really fight or for the puck or anything like that. He's just kind of out there to, I don't know, like, maybe light the lamp. And he didn't do that once in this whole tournament. So if he's not, he's definitely one of those players that it's like, if he's not scoring, he's, what's even the point that he's even on the team? So honestly, get him out of my face. I have no use to watch him to watch him on Team USA next year. And I can tell you that he's never gonna win anything. He'll never win anything. I feel pretty confident in that. That is not a winning player. It's amazing how much I like his brother, because his brother Quinn, who unfortunately couldn't play, he's the man. He's quite entertaining to watch, and he sort of gets it. And he's great. He's a great puck handler and a great skater. And it's like, how is his brother, like, how is it completely different? But anyways, Adam Fox, another player who sort of played himself, I think, out of an Olympic spot. Bad defensively. I don't understand really what happened to him, because I would say that he's been one of the premier best NHL defensemen for a while. And yeah, he was terrible this tournament. He was god-awful last night, for sure. And he ends up being on the game-winning goal. You know, there's some other dudes on the team that you just kind of look at, like, you know, why was Brock Nelson on the team? Why was Chris Kreider on the team? Another one where I think that definitely you got to question Mike Sullivan. He scratches Kyle Connor, who's there, who's tied for the leading points scorer on the team, I believe. I think it was him and Jack Eichel. And in the NHL, and yeah, no, it was definitely a questionable decision. He hadn't scored in the tournament, hadn't really been noticeable, to be honest with you, so I'm not sitting here crying over spilled milk with Kyle Connor, but I did question the guy that they put in there for him, which is, you know, Chris Kreider, who, you know, scores a nice little greasy goal in the first 30 seconds of Monday's game against Sweden in a meaningless game, but has not been having a good year and is the oldest player on the team. And yeah, he kind of looked like it. Again, he wasn't really noticeable at all. I think I definitely would have taken Connor over him as someone that could have finished, maybe in that overtime. Maybe he gets on the ice, maybe he buries one. Yeah, and then also, you know, you gotta look at Matthew Tkachuk. Like, he shouldn't have been playing. Plays pretty much the whole first period, but then leaves sort of mid second period, doesn't come back onto the ice. And, you know, you just wonder if that would have been better suited if you had a spot to put somebody that actually could have played. So you could have played Connor and Kreider, and, you know, maybe Jack Hughes isn't on the ice when Connor McDavid is out there. Maybe that's what happens. Probably that's what happens, because I would imagine that Jack Hughes probably would not have seen anything in that overtime based off the way he played. But because they were already down a forward, Mike Sullivan really couldn't throw any, but really couldn't afford to bench anyone. So that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Positive note, I will say Jack Eichel, you know, I feel like there was always a long-running thing against him that he wasn't a winning player. He had that whole thing in Buffalo where he was beefing with the team. Gets traded to Vegas. They missed the playoffs when he gets traded to them, but then he wins the Stanley Cup the following year. And I really feel like he's someone that I would say, oh, that guy's a winner. And I really think he impressed people with his play. He didn't really put up a ton of points, but he really kind of showed that he's got some defensive prowess. He's very skilled offensively as a playmaker. He's not someone that's going to score a ton of goals. He's going to pass the puck a lot. He makes a lot of really nice passes. And he made a great defensive play in that on that penalty kill that they had. But I feel like he deserves some credit. You know, he definitely is one of those guys that I'm like, okay, he gets it. He gets it. Jack Eichel gets it. But yeah, Jack Hughes, you know, Adam Fox, those are guys that I think played themselves off the team. And then, like I said, that some of those bottom six guys, you know, Matt Boldy, who did score once in this tournament, Brock Nelson, Chris Kreider, it's like, you got to do something about that at the bottom of the roster. But I just figured, you know, I'd come on here and give some of my thoughts. Like I said, definitely unfortunate. Feels like the one that got away, but what can you do? Congratulations to Canada. Hopefully we'll get them back next year at the Olympics. But till then, take care.